I'm wrestling, do not weep for me. Celebrate what I am. Celebrate what I have been. Celebrate what I represent. And celebrate the many ways I have impacted your life. I will survive this test as I have survived others. I am forever etched into the very fiber of all mankind. The world needs me. Time is on my side. History guarantees me. I am wrestling. Do not wait for me.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to episode 93 of the T-Row and Funky Show, brought to you as always by Defense Soap, the phone that you have built, and Dollar Math. And Tommy, it's been a while again. Some people thought we were retired. I guess you can call this a comeback. How's it going?
I'm hanging in there, man. It's been too long. I know you had the baby, you retired, you were in Asia. I'm never a good guy to plan around, so I apologize to our listeners, but I'm glad we're back. There's plenty to talk about, so let's rock.
There is, yes. And so our last episode was actually December 13th, which is slightly after the birth of my son, which is my third kid, and I have been running around with like a chicken with my head cut off and exhausted and everything else since then. You know, I know we wanted to get one in right after the scuffle, but my whole family had the flu, and we didn't get it done. But we have a lot to cover today. You know, I was just kind of looking over these results again and kind of got me excited about what's coming up in the next month also, so we can kind of look forward or maybe preview what's coming up too.
Right. I'm excited. Yeah, let's rock, man. There's just a lot to talk about.
Okay, well, let's go. So I'm going over the four Christmas things. Let's go Midlands first. So my takeaways, and you could anywhere you want to stop me. First and foremost, Midlands is weak compared to what it was. I mean, some of these brackets were embarrassingly bad. I don't know that there was any top 10 matchups in the finals, you know, where it was one top 10 guy versus another top 10 guy.
I could not agree more. When I was coming up through high school, and even when I was in college, the Midlands was the premier event in the country. And just around that time when I got into college, Vegas started to get enough clout to even be mentioned in the same sentence. And then you fast forward, you know, 15, 16 years, and the Midlands is watered down. Vegas is better than Midlands, and the Scuffle is better than Midlands.
I think Vegas is number one this year. And we're going to hit it a little later, but Scuffle was slightly weaker. About 12 teams went to the South Beach Duels, and then Oklahoma State and NC State went to that Tussle for the Troops thing. And so when you look you know, there's 14 teams right there. Obviously, Oklahoma State, NC State, and Mizzou are all top six, right, the three of them. That's a lot of really good wrestlers not competing at either Scuffle or Midlands, which I think, you know, first you split the talent between the Scuffle and the Midlands, and then you take 14 teams out of it. Shoot, that's a tough sell.
Unbelievable. And I'll tell you, just to give you an idea of the Midlands, my freshman year, which was December, my redshirt freshman year was December of 2000, long time ago.
Yep.
Okay. I lost to Chad Lamer in the semifinals.
Oh, I remember Chad.
He was out of college and a world team member. And in the finals, Chad Lamer wrestled Stephen Neal, who was a 1999 world champion. So the reigning world champion at heavyweight and a world team member at 211 was in the finals. And then myself and Ryan Taylor from West Virginia, I was ranked third. At the time, he was ranked second. We wrestled for third and fourth.
Wow.
And even though that's pretty unique, you know, there was it was like that almost every weight class. Maybe not world champions and world team members, but, you know, if you had that at the Midlands this year, it would have stuck out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, that gave me an idea. Why don't we get Kyle Snyder to wrestle in the Midlands next year?
I know. It's been an idea of mine for quite some time. But maybe you can get on your mercenary team. We'll do some deals. We'll get it done.
Okay. Well, I am guaranteed to wrestle next year. So at this point, I can't back out. It was always a good idea last year, but between the third kid and the retirement for MMA, it made it challenging. So What happened at Midlands? I thought
The league got freed.
The league got freed, which we were all happy about. You know, we were clamoring for that. I think everyone was. Iowa's 125. Justin Stickley is. I mean, he's wrestling at Iowa, so he can't be that bad. But for being at Iowa, he's pretty terrible.
Right.
So this is a huge upgrade for Iowa. And, you know, I think everyone went totally nuts when Spencer teched, Sean Russell in the quarterfinals, 16-0.
And why shouldn't we have done that? And the way that he teched him, too.
You're right.
You know, sometimes every now and again you get a tech. It's like, you caught him in one move. That was I'm that much better than you.
Yes. Exactly. I totally agree. And so, you know, then he goes on to the semis, and I will tell you, I was in Las Vegas. I was coaching my buddy at the UFC, and as Bresser gets the escape and the takedown to start winning the match, I got in an elevator and my feed cut out. I was so annoyed. So,
oh, my God!
I missed the end of the
match. Why'd you get in the elevator, Ben? You should have known better.
I think it was as I was getting in, he was getting the escape, you know? And I honestly figured, hey, well, as I was waiting for the elevator, I'm thinking Lee's going to ride him out. Bresser's not even close to getting an escape or reversal, right? And so I think I walk onto the elevator, and he's getting up to his feet. And then as he gets the escape, the doors are closing. And then I see him inside trip, and then the feed cuts out. And I'm like, oh, my God, what the heck happened?
Yep. I tell you what's amazing, and I got to give C. Piles credit because I think he's the one that pointed it out. Bresser's wrestled Fix, Suriano, and Spencer Lee. Not one of those guys has taken him down in 21 minutes
of
wrestling.
I will tell you. And
let's stop, Ben. That's impressive.
Okay,
that is impressive.
It's impressive, but let me give you a but, Tommy. Roddy Bresser does the least for the most of anyone. He freaking dances around. He moves in and out. But anytime someone is pressuring him, he'll just back out in a way. Anytime he feels comfortable, he'll back out in a way.
Amen.
It's almost impossible for anyone to engage with him.
Even though it's an amazing statistic, I don't see him on the mat, in the semis, slugging it out for the title. I don't see that.
Well,
I don't know if you do, but I can see that.
I can see it. I'm just saying, I think he should be called for stalling. He doesn't get called for stalling because he's like moving all around the place. But what I see is a failure to engage. Right, he's not engaging with his opponents. He's going in and out, moving around, but there's no engagement there. There's no real wrestling happening. Right, and his movement is fantastic, and that's why these people are struggling to get a hold of him. And he moves so well that if one of these guys chases him, he'll fire off a shot and get a takedown.
Yep.
But there's still a failure to engage.
He's supremely talented.
No, I think he's probably worked on that skill.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Okay, but so
at any rate,
the league
got freed.
Okay, wait. Do you agree though? If you're having a failure to engage with somebody, that should probably be called stalling.
I could not agree more.
Okay,
there's plenty of guys that are experts at doing a whole lot of nothing. And you see this every now and again, especially with guys that are quick, elusive. They have a way of looking busy, but when you really look at it, they're not.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. It's like any time that someone starts engaging, he just backs out. And so what it does is it makes engagement by either party nearly impossible. And at the same time where Lee Suriano and Fix didn't get a takedown on him, I don't believe he scored one takedown in those matches either, did he? Or am I missing one?
Well, he took Spencer Lee down.
You're right. It was off of a kind of a reversal. I guess I was thinking that was a reversal. But, yeah, you are correct.
Right.
So he did get one.
Right. So, I'm still taking those three over him when the money's down. And the thing about Bresser, the way that he wrestles, because to your point, he doesn't engage. I don't think, and I don't mean to knock a guy that went 21 minutes without being taken down by three animals. So I never really knew of him that much until the past couple months. But I'll say this, that those, that style, although he can compete with anybody, he can also lose to anybody.
Yes, and, absolutely.
And to an extent, that becomes evident at the big events where, you know, at the Nationals, all 32 guys kind of know what they're doing.
So wait, let me ask you this. So in the finals, he did get called for stalling against Soriano, and I saw some people were highly annoyed with that call. What did you think of it? Because I wasn't nearly as annoyed as most people were. I was like, maybe not great.
No,
but
I know. I think I'm with you, Ben. It's like, here's how I thought of it. I know what he's doing, and it's stalling.
Yeah.
Does he do a good job of covering it up?
Yeah.
Yes. So I guess that's how I felt. It's like, you know, based on how they're calling it, it was a tough call. But is he not active? Is he not looking to score? In my opinion, yes.
He's not looking to score. Correct. No. Right? That's what we're both saying. Bresser is not really looking to score.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
Okay. Got it. Okay. So then, obviously, in the finals, as we just talked about, Soriano beats Bresser. And then, you know, as we kind of alluded to also, Dayton Fix also beat Ronnie Bresser at the Reno tournament.
Reno, right?
Which was just, a couple weeks before.
I didn't watch that match. Did you watch
it? I did. Not live. I went back and watched it. And, you know, I don't think Bresser took one really good shot in the Lee or Soriano match, if I remember correctly. He did take a couple good shots and got in, but could not finish against Dayton Fix. And, you know,
right.
it was like I said, it was like if you chase the guy, he's going to take that opening to get to your legs. And that was
right.
was what happened against Dayton Fix. And I mean, Bresser's got a good shot. You know, if I'm his coach, there's something that's preventing him from really wrestling all out. And I would try to get him sold on, man, you got skills. Go out there and freaking wrestle 7 minutes. Don't try this.
He sure does. I mean, he really does.
He does.
When he goes, it's good.
Yeah. And that, you know, so it's like, don't. And, you know, there's those kids that you know what it is a lot of times? It's a fear of getting tired. So they don't wrestle as hard as they could wrestle. Or they don't put their skills out there because they're afraid of what would happen when they get
It's funny. We could talk about this. It's like it's kind of weird. It's a subject we've never discussed. But, you know, a lot of guys wrestle and don't put it all out there, not because they're nervous to take a shot, but because they're so scared of fatigue.
Yes.
They build in this style of being appearing to be gun shy, and not really let it go.
Yeah, and you know that's something. Obviously, I work with youth wrestlers, so I talk about this a lot. And it's like, hey, man, you guys have to accept a couple things. If you do something hard enough for 6 minutes, you're gonna get tired. It's impossible. So there's this thought process that somehow is some way prevalent. That if you get in good enough shape, you're not going to get tired. That's effing false, Tommy. Anyone on the planet, if I say, sprint for 6 minutes, do a rower as hard as you can for 6 minutes, you can't do it. It's impossible. It's impossible.
That's right.
We all fatigue, right? And so then it becomes, okay, who can make themselves? I actually did a whole Mental Monday on this topic. It was like 20 minutes. But who can fatigue? Who can fatigue a little less? And you can do that by being in good shape or being efficient with your movements, right? Or who can deal with it better? Who could deal with it better? Who's prepared to deal with it? And so what I sell my kids on is if you go out there and you wrestle hard every time and you get tired, or you wrestle in practice and you wrestle hard every time and you get tired, you're going to become more okay with that feeling. And there's a lot of people in this sport.
And there's
a lot of people in this sport who are not willing to do that. So they never get okay with that feeling. So when they feel that, in matches, when they get there and feel that matches, they don't know how to react to it and they panic.
That's exactly right. And they actually appear more tired than they actually are.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think for kids, you want to build in that mental ability first that, hey, learn how to deal with fatigue, learn how to wrestle through fatigue. And then as you get older and as you get more advanced, then you learn how to be efficient with the gas tank that you have. So, you know, in the event that you are fatigued in a way that matters, you can mentally deal with it, but you're also efficient with what you do.
Yes.
And that's where, you know, you get pretty damn good.
Yes. Yep. I agree 1,000%. So, and that's, if I'm Bresser's coach, I'm trying to get Bresser, and it's hard, man. I've coached kids and sometimes it's hard to get them out of that mindset, but I'm trying to get him to wrestle as hard as he can. All right, we got to get up. We need to talk about 125 for the entire at Midlands for the entire show. So Iowa looks good. Lee was freed. Sam Stoll beat Tanner Hall, which I guess that's not a gigantic upset, but it is an upset nevertheless. Cash Wilkie wins, which I think that was a shock to everyone. He actually beat.
It was.
You know, I would say they should pull Warner from redshirt, but Wilkie beats Warner in the semis, and then Warner goes on the semi slide and drops all the way to sixth place. So I think they're going to leave him in the corner. They're not going to uncorner the Warner for the rest of the year. You know, what do you think about Wilkie?
Which I think is the right move.
Yeah. What do you think about Wilkie? I was never highly impressed with him, but obviously I believe I want to say he's up to being ranked number 4-ish or something like that.
I think he's stingy and hard to wrestle. You know, I guess that's what I would say about him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's nothing that sticks out, but, you know, he's a typical Iowa guy to me. He's not going to quit. He's going to keep wrestling. And you know what I mean?
Sure. And then Pat Downey is allegedly back. We have yet to see this. Allegedly, he got past all his credits. He's in school. So, you know, that's a lot of good news for Iowa Hawkeye fans.
And then you have Marinelli with his second win over Richie Lewis, which, you know, kind of is hard to do, especially for a freshman. Winning the Midlands as a freshman, even if it's watered down. Very impressive. Ohio boy, by the way. And so that should be interesting.
Well, you know, I'm excited. I think I have this a little farther down the list. But, you know, Richie Lewis, he did win that freestyle world title, kind of came out of nowhere. But I believe he's ranked – I'm going to look it up right now. I think he's ranked 12th or somewhere.
I think so. I thought I was going to say 11th.
So we got – yeah, so we got Marinelli at 11, Lewis at 12 on here.
Okay.
So he's got Chandler Rogers. Chandler Rogers is at number 8. He's got him this weekend. And then, you know, he's going to have Tishon Campbell, who's actually down at 13. That's in 2 weeks, right?
Right. Yep.
So, you know, he I don't think he faces – Iowa and Penn State don't duel, do they?
Oh, I don't believe they duel this year.
He sat out with –
No, they do. They do. They wrestle this year. Iowa and Penn State wrestle.
Wait. Okay, I'm going to go look it up. But then, wait. Marinelli sat out against Illinois, correct? Yeah, he did.
I don't know.
He did. Let me see. I'm going to go to a dual recap right now. Yeah, because he's undefeated, so he had to because he wouldn't have beat Imar. Yeah, Isaiah Martinez, Techfold, Caleb Young. So that means Marinelli sat out the duel. Well, that's disappointing. Why did it? Because he wrestled.
Yeah.
Obviously, he wrestled
the
next
question.
Week.
When was the duel? When was that duel? I don't.
That was December 1st, and he wrestled.
Oh, that's where Iowa made it out. Barely made it out alive. Right.
18-17, and you know Iowa
still had the pin at the end.
Yeah, Iowa has a handful of undefeated wrestlers, but you know, man, they haven't really, with the Midlands being so weak, they haven't really wrestled anybody yet. I mean, Illinois and Rutgers being their two best opponents. But now, if you look at coming up, they're going to have Oklahoma State this weekend, Ohio State the weekend after, then Michigan, then Minnesota, and then they get a week break, and then they get Penn State.
Penn State.
So they do have a.
Those are some good duels.
Those are some good duels. So they do have a handful of matches come up here. I thought Arizona State wrestled poorly, maybe not living up to their expectations. Milhoff DMPs, Nasser DMPs, which Nasser has never proven himself in folk style. He's been a very good freestyle competitor, but not yet in folk style. And then Anthony Valencia continues to struggle, finishing all the way down in fourth place.
Right. Which you've kind of been calling that from way back in the preseason.
I still can't figure out why, though. I wish I could be like in their room or something, because he obviously, you know, high school. He beat Tyler Caldwell, who was four-time AAA national, two-time national finalist, and now you know now he's in his sophomore year, so it's not like he's a baby anymore, and he's struggling. I think he's ranked like 15th.
Well, I've never even had a conversation with Anthony Valencia, but you see that every now and again, Ben, where these guys actually produced results that were as good or better in the prior years. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons that happens, but sometimes they just fall out of love with wrestling. It doesn't mean they don't like it.
Sure.
It doesn't mean that they don't want to do it, but they don't have that undying passion to do something. Like when I watched the Heat wrestle, just the way that he wrestled. I'm just talking about the way that he wrestles.
We're talking about bigger but younger brother.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He just loves what he's doing. He loves it. Every second he's out there, he's having. There's nowhere else he'd rather be. And so, I don't feel that way when I watch Anthony Valencia wrestle. But you know, there's other guys that love wrestling that have a more reserved style. So I'm not trying to psychoanalyze the guy. I guess I am trying, but I don't know him. But you see that. I've seen that with, you know, some Buckeye wrestlers and stuff where it's like, I mean, when you produce consistently lesser results than you previously did and you're not injured, it's either a weight issue or your mind.
That's,
I mean, there's no other way to put it, right?
Yeah, no, you nailed it. And, you know, I was thinking it was a weight issue because obviously the Heat's the weight up, but I've been told multiple times that in fact is not the case. So must be a motivation issue. Maybe he just hates folk style. I don't know.
It could be that too.
I love folk style. Probably the greatest martial art.
I know you do.
Folk style wrestling is probably the greatest martial art ever invented.
In what context?
Ability to beat people up.
Well, I would agree with that.
Okay, fair enough. And I'm not
going to disagree with that.
Okay, cool. And I obviously enjoy it more than the other styles, which I you know what? I'm coming to think that
let me give you the science on why it is the greatest martial art on the planet because wrestling itself is the greatest martial art on the planet. And the discipline of wrestling that requires the most control over someone is folk style.
Yes.
So, therefore, folk style wrestling is the greatest martial art on the planet.
Agreed. All right. So, let's not even debate that because we have too much to talk about. So, let's go. Scuffle, again, not even close to as tough as it has been in past years. I mean, there's been past years where it was absolutely stacked.
Still better than the Midlands.
Better than Midlands.
You get Penn State there.
But, when I looked through the results.
You did have five. Hey, you had five defending national champs at least.
Oh, my goodness. Those six because Darian Cruz also.
So oh, there you go, yeah.
When I looked through the results again, just to see if I had, you know, anything I didn't remember, it just, there's not that much I was excited about. There wasn't. It's like, you knew Zane was going to win. You knew Nolf was going to win. You probably knew Chenzo was going to win. Right?
Do you think maybe this, I mean, and I'm thinking a little too deep here, but do you think maybe this has something to do with the fact that we have access to so much wrestling? That these anticipated matchups at these tournaments aren't as cool to us anymore.
I think I'm gonna actually kind of bring up a point, and I think it's because there were 14 good teams other places. You know, of the
right.
So let's just go through the top tournament teams. Hold on one second, I'm coming up to it. Okay, so you got, come on, internet. All right, you got. Ohio State did not participate in a winter tournament, correct? They're one.
Correct.
North Carolina State did not. They were in Italy.
Italy.
Which we're talking about. Michigan did not. Oklahoma, they're four. Oklahoma State at six was in Italy. Missouri at seven did not participate. And then Virginia Tech at 10 didn't participate. So you have, and South Dakota State at 11 didn't participate. And Wyoming at 12 didn't participate.
South Dakota State was at Midlands, weren't they?
Oh, you're right. I'm wrong. So, yeah. But that's – okay, so that's number one, number three, number four, number six, number seven, and number 10 did not participate.
Right.
That's a big chunk.
Point well proven.
I think that – you know what I was thinking, though, Tommy? I was thinking because of the way this played out this year, and I don't know that it's going to play out this way in the future, could it be possible that we are left – for more big anticipated matchups towards the end of the year, say at the Big Ten Championships or the NCAAs, that maybe we don't get to see earlier? Because I think that's a big thing. You know, if you look at maybe the history of
Yeah, Canada, I think you're right. I think you're right. I think that's – I see that happening at least this year. I see that happening.
Because no one wants to watch a competition where you know the outcome. That's just not fun.
Correct.
And so if you see these matchups too often, then you get sick of them. You don't want to see them. You're just not as intrigued. And so maybe that's going to happen this year. Maybe we'll be more intrigued by the stuff that's going to happen later.
Right. I like that. And that would be great.
Okay. So obviously you had all six NCAA champions kind of one running away. There wasn't really anything close. So let's talk about the three things that I got listed as kind of talking points. Redshirt Caden Gaffeller over pins Nick Lee in the finals. Nick Lee is also redshirting. Allegedly, they're going to pull him. We're not really sure at Penn State. And he pinned number 7 ranked Josh Albert in the semi. So,
right,
you know, Gefeller's obviously going to stay on the bench because Gefeller's got Dean Heil sitting in front of him. And, you know, Nick Lee is, I think that he's very needed by Penn State, and I think we're going to see Penn State pull him.
They're going to pull him. And then, they're going to pull him. And they just got that Carson Kuhn out of
I don't remember State. Carson Kuhn's college career, so I'm having a hard time seeing how good he is.
He hasn't had an amazing college career, but he was quite the standout coming out of high school, just too small. So it'll be interesting how he can do. I mean, he's very technical, very athletic.
And he's old as crap, right? Because didn't he take like an old, he was at the training center, then a mission, then a red shirt.
I want to say he's David Taylor's age.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's so old. I mean, they need someone at 25 because they stink at 25.
Right.
Man, this is funny. This is like such an arms race between these top guys. It's like Iowa went and got Pat Downey, freaking. Oh, you know, Ohio State gets a few transfers, McKinnon, Campbell. And then Penn State, how did they even find freaking Carson Kuhn? I mean, this guy's 25, and he's not even actively competing in college wrestling now.
The Suriano transfer.
Suriano, yeah.
Opened this puppy up. And that him going to Rutgers made this season really, really fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree 100%.
So, yeah, it's wild right now.
So let's talk about some other Penn State stuff here. I got, you know, number one, at 97 pounds, you got Shakur Rashid came out, who, you know, people probably would have said he was the third string, 97. He wins the championship, pinning everybody. Anthony Cassano takes third, and McCutcheon doesn't even place. He must be dealing with injuries or something, because like you alluded to earlier, when someone has significantly worse results than previously in their careers, it's one of those two things: too much weight cutting, injuries, or you know, a lack of motivation.
Yep. It's exactly right. I agree.
Yeah. So. Okay,
and
then
we have
heavyweight.
Scuffle.
Well, a heavyweight. So, you know, this is mostly Penn State stuff, but a heavyweight. Obviously, Jacob Casper winning, but Neville's, I think more than anything, Neville's loses twice to Butler and Boykin, who, you know, they're good, but they're not world beaters.
They need those points.
They need those points. Bad. And they need those points at 97 also. And so.
They're gonna pull Lee. There's no way they're not gonna pull Lee.
Yeah, we're talking Nick Lee at 141, obviously. Free the other Lee.
The other Lee is freed.
But now at heavyweight, I mean, you know, before you were, I think if I would have asked you, I think you would have said that. I think you would have said that Nick Neville's is a for sure top five guy, right? And now he loses.
I would say that.
He loses to Nick Boykin, who is unranked, and he loses to Nick Boykin is not his first name, Michael Boykin, and he loses to Nathan Butler, who's ranked number 7. So now you're like, Nick Neville's is not even a for sure All-American. That's tough.
I mean, you can say that now. It'll be interesting how he does these next couple weeks in some important duels.
Yeah. So,
but
Penn
State, he wrestled like a top five guy all last year. Not
Neville's.
Tournament.
Neville's did.
So.
He didn't look good. Yeah, I actually caught that Boykin match live, and he did not look good.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So,
well, maybe flying back from California to the East Coast just before the scuffle. You know, who knows what he was dealing with. I mean, I'm just trying to think of things that may make it an anomaly.
Tommy. I guarantee he came back like a few days early. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hit this NC State, Oklahoma State duel. You know, I thought, and I said this on Twitter, I actually got to watch a handful of these matches live. NC State looks great, and I think Pat Popliggio is doing as good of a job getting people better than, you know, I say Brian Smith does a great job also, but man, some of these guys on NC State's team were not very good. And all of a sudden, they're a lot better than they were.
Yeah, I think you know he's never done an average job. He's always done good or great. And I think his career reminds me a lot of Brian Smith is Brian Smith for two reasons. One, Missouri as an institution and North Carolina as an institution, they don't come top of mind for big time institutions, but they're big enough where they want for nothing. You have all the resources you need to be successful.
Yeah.
And so these two coaches, and the other thing that parallels with Brian Smith is that Pat Papalizio perhaps stumbled into one of the greatest heavyweights of all time. You can't really.
Well, he didn't stumble into him. He wrestled.
He didn't stumble into him as a recruit, but he. You wouldn't have said that about Gwiz coming out of high school.
Ooh.
And he ended up being. And I think that the same could be said for you, Ben, with Brian Smith, where, you know, it.
Sure.
No one would. No, you weren't in line to win the Hodge twice and all that
right.
good stuff. So I think that, you know, what Brian Smith and Pat Papalizio have done is they leveraged they did a good job. It's kind of like how luck finds you. You know what I mean?
When you're
working that hard
and
luck kind of found them, if that makes any sense. And then what they did after, so what Brian Smith did after you came through the program and what Pat Papalizio is doing after Gwiz came through the program, it just reminds me, it's very similar to me.
Yeah, I guess that's that's a fair assessment. Absolutely. And so the other things in this duel is, again, we talk about people coming out of nowhere. Sean Foss, who was, you know, he was good out of high school, but not great, takes out Nick Piccinini.
Right.
Another guy, Kevin Jack, good out of high school, not great, beats Dean Heil. And 141 is a disaster at this point. And, you know, it's funny, Dean Heil was on a 55-match winning streak, and now he's on a two-match losing streak,
which is amazing.
And Kevin Jack, I watched this match live, and I thought Kevin Jack was in on the winning takedown, and they stalemated it with about 20 seconds left. I'm like, damn, they just screwed him.
And
hits a beautiful. I don't know if it was either a low double or ankle pick. I'm blanking right now. Which one?
Hey,
it was.
Ben. What? Hey, Ben. I got a question for you. How your first time wrestling overseas? Was it hard for you physically to get adjusted quickly
No. I mean, the food was shit, right? I was in Russia. The food was terrible, but that was about it.
It was hard. It was hard for me. I was wondering what all those, you know, I bet out of the 20 guys in the lineup,
only funny.
Three or four of them have been overseas. Like, that had to have been kind of a unique experience.
Yeah. What do you think about these guys going to Italy for this match?
I think...
Because the crowd was terrible.
I think it's I think for the work that they put in, the travel and all that stuff to have a dual meet, it's like you question if it's good for them, but I do think it's cool for wrestling. I do think it's good.
But why?
Are we
like convincing? I struggle with this with the NFL too, because it's not like they go to London. It's like, okay, people in London are not going to start playing American football, right? It's like. Are people in Italy?
It actually makes more sense to the NFL because they've saturated the American market. So, you know, every businessman wants to grow his business. Why not invest in another market and see if it can catch on?
It's not gonna
You know, going
on.
To this Italy
they
thing. It kinda reminds me of, like, you know, the swimming and diving teams that go to the Bahamas over Christmas break to compete. It's like it's really just a feature to help recruiting. Like, I'm sure Pat Papalizio is on the phone this week saying, you know, we went to Italy, you know, and the kids are like, oh, that's cool. And John Smith, you know, he's got Esposito saying, hey, we went to Italy, you know, whatever. And that's really the motivator to me why they did this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, so, okay, well, speaking of what you just said, about the Bahamas, a bunch of teams did go to South Beach, 12 of them, in fact.
That's correct.
For the South Beach
Cornell
duels.
Down there.
Mizzou, most importantly.
Most importantly.
North Dakota
Always
State
most
was
important.
There. They, North Carolina was there. So they had some good teams. Cool event. They all got four duels. I guess being a greedy wrestling fan, I was disappointed that this was this took away from the scuffle in the Midlands. So I guess at that angle, I didn't like it. But again, great recruiting pitch. Hey, we go to South Beach for 7 days after Christmas. and that we don't stay in Fargo, North Dakota, or Columbia, Missouri. Why don't you know? So I guess cool from that angle. Bad. I want to see the best guys beat against the best guys, but there were some good matches. I guess for Missouri, I had written down Joey LaValle, Tech Fall, BJ Klangen, Ryder, Grant Leith beat number 4 Troy Heilman, and most importantly, Jaden Ironman defeat number 1 Yanni Dimakahalis. And again, 141 is a disaster.
It is a disaster. And Dimakahalis, a lot of people saw his success coming from far away. They were predicting this 6 or 7 months ago.
Yep.
But and so he's still a stud. He's still in the hunt for the national title. But that loss to Ironman just goes to show how hard it is to be successful and consistent as a freshman.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to take on all comers at all time. Ironman obviously is very good.
Yep.
He's on the short list of guys that has a shot. But, you know, you can't just walk onto the scene and wreck shop. Even if, you know, because who did Dimakahalis Tech fall that was like, how did he do that? Was it Thorn from Minnesota?
Obviously he beat Kevin Jack and he beat Josh Albert pretty easy at Vegas. You know, that was kind of what put him in that number one ranking spot, especially when right after that.
And then he abused a guy that's ranked high. I want to say it was Thorn.
I'm blanking. It could definitely have been Thorn. I mean, they wrestled Thorn at the South Beach Duels, so that's a possibility.
Yeah, it's just obvious. I don't think any differently about Dimakahalis. All it tells me is that.
And it was, so for what it's worth, it was the last second cradle. He cradles him up and puts him on his back the last second.
Yeah.
5 seconds.
But that weight class is like that,
you know? It's really funny. 141, Dimakahalis, Jack, Heil, Ironman, and Meredith. I would say all of them are very, very high level scramblers. So you know, it does make that
right.
Weight class, and a lot of them have very similar skills.
Right.
So, you know, that's gonna be an interesting thing
to see unfold.
Super interesting, very interesting. So okay, let me hold on. I'm gonna see if you're correct on that. Oh geez, hold on. I got team results. Cornell. Okay, they beat North Dakota State. They beat Minnesota. Cornell beats Minnesota. Yanni beats Tommy Thorne 18-4. So you're right on the money on that one.
Yep. Yeah. So that's a drubbing, and that just shows how good he is because not many people can do that to Thorne, if anybody. But losing to Ironman and Ironman's a sophomore. He's awesome. He's a stud. He was an All-American last year, right?
Correct. Yeah.
But you know. He beat Dimakahalis. You know, that just, you know, that stuff didn't happen to Taylor or Siebert, stuff like that. So it just shows how hard it is to just step on the scene and start just wrecking shop with everybody you wrestle.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to do.
Huh. Okay, so let's go on to what's coming up this weekend. And Tommy, this pisses me off, and I'm curious to see what angle you're going to take. So maybe there's something we can actually argue about. Ohio State versus Minnesota. Nathan Tomasello will be making his season debut against Ethan Lezak. But last weekend, he wrestled Friday against Maryland but did not compete on Sunday against Rutgers, which would have been a Nick Seriano matchup. That annoys me. As a competitor, I never would have done this. I think I might have missed two matches in my career, and it was both because Coach Smith said, hey, we want to give this guy a match, and I said, all right, fine, right? I mean, but I'll tell you, on my senior night, I couldn't see straight, Tommy. I was so sick, I could not see straight. I told Coach Smith, there is no way in hell you're sitting me on the bench. I'm going out there. And I remember I still couldn't see straight. But I won the match 10-2. And so a guy sitting out just because, that annoys me.
Well, I will say that I think there's two separate discussions you got to have is what is the coach trying to do and what is the athlete trying to do. And I think in the case of the athlete, Nate Tomasello doesn't miss a date. He never misses. His whole career, this guy has been a warrior. So, in my opinion, he's been out the first part of the year. He's injured. He's wrestling partly injured. And I think as an athlete, Nate Tomasello deserves a pass because this guy has been a warrior. He's been a warrior. And so if the coaches felt compelled or even he felt compelled to not come back against Suriano on his turf for once in his career, I think he gets a pass. Now, the coaches that sit people out as a habit.
Tom Ryan.
You know, you question.
Tom Ryan.
Yeah, and so some exactly right. So that, to me, it's like, who are we talking about here? Are we talking about Tomasello or Tom? I think Tomasello gets the pass.
I don't know who made the decision. I'm not.
I don't know either. But if it was Tomasello, do you think he deserves a pass?
Do you think Tomasello is going to wrestle? No, honestly, I'm not going to wrestle either one of those matches. I'm not wrestling Maryland or Rutgers if I'm sitting out Rutgers. Because I think I look like a bitch. That's why I wouldn't do it.
You're probably right, but he probably wanted to get his weight down one time for the first time ever in a weight class that he didn't wrestle.
You could go get
that he didn't wrestle last year against a guy he knew he would. What's that?
They got backups. He could do it in the wrestling room.
It's true. It's a good point. I mean, you're bringing. I don't disagree with you.
Okay, I thought you might, so I was curious.
But
So is he going to wrestle Spencer? Is he going to wrestle Spencer Lee in 10 days or whatever?
I don't know the answer to that, but I think that they're more inclined to put their guys out there when they're a little ginger if it's a home match than if it's an away match.
Okay.
Like
Kyle Snyder, I give a pass to Kyle Snyder because he's going to compete against the best in the world. I give that a pass, right? But when you're choosing when you wrestle Friday, but you don't wrestle Sunday, I'm not so good with that. That annoys me. If you're too hurt, I can accept that. I can't. But when you step on the mat on Friday and you're not stepping on the mat on Sunday, that one's really hard for me.
I hate to say this, but I can dig it, even though it's a strike against my Buckeyes. I can dig it. I follow what you're saying. I wrestled 178 matches in college. The only match I missed was the All-Star meet my junior year. I had a separated rib, and it was an exhibition match. So I guess I didn't even miss a match.
Doesn't count.
So I get it. But, these guys are doing what's best for their program. And until duels take on more of a value, if your football player, if your wide receiver's a little hurt and you're ahead by 21, he's probably sitting out of the game, Ben. So until duels take on more significance, if it's truly a team event, a duel meet, then you do what you got to do to win, right?
Yeah.
So there's just different ways to look at it. It's kind of a philosophy thing, but on a personal level, I agree with you more than I don't.
All right, fair enough. Okay, so apparently he's wrestling Lezak tomorrow. I'm guessing that you're saying you take Tomasello, because I'm taking Tomasello.
Taking Tomasello, but I think that he's got to get, he's got to get his deal streamlined. I mean, if he wants to be effective at the Big Tens and Nationals, he's got to make the weight. He's got to learn how to wrestle a little bit dinged up. Hopefully the recovery is going the way it should go. But that's that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, other exciting matches this weekend. Michigan versus Penn State. And again, I'm hoping Logan Mass is going to be in there versus Vincenzo, but he's been out, I believe, since the Vegas. So I don't
know. What do you think the deal was? I mean, for the losses that he took compared to how good he is, yeah. I think he was
sick,
what do you think was going
sick,
on there?
Sick or injured, one of the two.
He
majors Wick like 2 weeks before that and then loses to him. So he hasn't wrestled since, so I would say sick and injured.
Right.
So who knows? Maybe we'll see him back. Maybe we won't. And then also you got, I think this is Abinader versus Nickel, and then Kuhn versus Neville. So I think we're going to see a couple.
Abinader and Nickel could be interesting. Because correct me if I'm wrong, Abinader redshirted last year. The year before, Nickel's in 74. So they've never tangled, have they?
I don't believe they've matched up. I don't think so.
That will be fun.
Fun because Abinader usually is. He plays it pretty close to the vest. He doesn't get in those upper body matchups, which, when Sammy Brooks digs an underhook on Nickel and gets bombed in 10 seconds and you're, scratching your head, like, what just happened?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that should be interesting. What else do we got going on?
Well, last but not least, we have Iowa versus Oklahoma State.
You got that right.
That's fun.
Yeah, So Piccinini versus Lee, that'll be fun. What else do we got?
We got Piccinini versus Lee. We got Marinelli versus Rogers. And then we got Wilkie.
Hey, I like that Oklahoma State heavyweight. I'd like to see him against Sam Stoll. Do they have much of a history?
No, because that's the first time that Oklahoma State has now been bumping up 97 as the heavyweight for a handful of years.
I love that heavyweight. What's his name? What's the Oklahoma State's heavyweight?
Derek White. He's been a 197 his whole career.
Dude, I love watching him wrestle heavyweights. I've seen a few highlights of him. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, he's obviously small. He moves well. And so, you know, Stoll is pretty much the exact opposite, right? He's big. He pushes you around. He doesn't move that well. So it's definitely a contrast in styles, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
And then I think Weigel versus Wilkie is, you know, interesting matchup because I think Weigel should, you know, would it, at the beginning would have been highly favored, and now, you know, Wilkie's undefeated, won Midland. So that, you know, that could make a match. And then obviously we could possibly, and I don't know this for sure, see the debut of Pat Downey.
PD3. That'd be fun.
Hawkeye singlet. So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting duel.
Yeah, it will be. It will be. Do you think Iowa pulling PD3, getting PD3 eligible and free in the lead, do you think Iowa could get third or, dare I say, compete with Ohio State and Penn State?
I don't think they have a chance against Ohio State or Penn State. Obviously, you know, as far as Penn State does have some weak weights, but they also have five NCAA champions.
They sure do.
Okay, so there's that. And then Ohio State does that. They had 10 guys ranked in the top eight, so they don't have a weak weight. Whereas Iowa still stinks at 33. They still stink at 41.
I don't think Campbell's in the top eight, but he's
was,
right up
he
there.
Was. He has. Oh yeah, he was. I just looked. He was 13. Okay. Marinelli's still not. So Iowa stinks at 33, 41, 74. They're still not in the top eight at 165. Marinelli. Right, and then you know they don't have bonus point guys. Stoll's not a bonus point guy. Wilkie's not a bonus point guy. Sorensen's not a bonus point guy. Kemmerer is their one really bonus point guy. And then on top of that, they're not going to have a guy win the NCAA championships unless Spencer Lee sneaks it out because Sorensen ain't beaten Rutherford and Kemmerer.
Rutherford.
Kemmerer ain't beaten. What's his name? Who am I saying? Kemmerer ain't beaten Noel.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, them challenging Ohio State or Penn State, nah, I don't think so. That's crazy talk.
Right.
I mean,
right,
you know, they could probably be top five now. I can't see that. But, you know, it's like when people gave Cale a pass for signing Andrew Long, which, you know, apparently he has a code of ethics about who he signs and who he doesn't sign. Well, he knew who Andrew Long really was, and he let that one slip.
He did because
he needed it. He needed it. He needed it to win. And then, you know, Pat Downey at Iowa, which that's not an Iowa mold type guy, and you can obviously feel the desperation in that program, which makes it really interesting. And we'll see. Obviously, they only got to keep him well behaved for 2 months. That's it.
That's right.
You had to keep him well behaved for 60 days.
It's gonna be great to watch him spit on social media about his wrestling at Iowa once he starts. It's gonna be great.
Or once he finishes, maybe they're gonna take his social media away for the next 2 months.
That's right.
I probably
That'd
would.
Be smart.
that would have been part of the contractual obligation when we signed him.
Yep.
All right, you got anything else? All
right, man. No, dude, I think we're good. It was good to get back in the swing of things. We'll have plenty to talk about next week, and let's get back on the saddle.
All right, let's try to make this more regular. Tommy, you have a good day, and I'll talk to you later.
See you, brother.
See ya. You are listening to the T. Rowe and Fungi Show, and it is brought to you by Defense Soap. Defend what you've built. Tommy, I got to say, I tried these products. He shipped me a box. I love them. I've had ringworm issues for a long time. So I'm looking forward to putting these in my repertoire and hoping the ringworm does not come back ever.
No doubt, Ben. And to top that off, the company was created by wrestlers. Guy Seiko wrestled at Cleveland State University. His son was an All-American in Virginia, so these people really get it. They know what the wrestling community needs.